Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about the Word became flesh. And of course, this is talking about the birth of Jesus when He came to the earth as a man. And I've already covered a lot of things this week. I hadn't got time to go back through it. But let me just say that this is a powerful teaching that if you could understand why it took 4,000 years after the fall of man for Jesus to come to this earth, if you could understand why He had to come to this earth, if you could answer those two questions scripturally, it will give you a revelation of God and how He deals with mankind. Of course, this will tell us how that we are supposed to respond to God. It'll show us how the kingdom operates, and it will make a huge difference in the way that you believe and receive from God. And so I'm excited about this teaching. I said this earlier in the week, but this teaching on the Word became flesh, I taught five different lessons in there. And every time I taught, my wife, you know, we were at a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, and every time when we got back to the hotel room, she'd say, "Oh, that's the best you've ever taught that." She loved it. And she loved these five teachings. That's the reason we put them together and made this series out of it. And my wife's heard me teach quite a few times. And so for her to say that she likes this, I think it's a great series and it would really, really help you. Let me go back and just say that I've been asking mainly two questions about why did God have to become a man? A lot of people just take these things and they don't ever think about the whys. And if you don't ask a question, you probably aren't going to get an answer. And a lot of people have just never thought about it. But why did God have to become a man? He's God. He could have done anything He wanted to. Why didn't He redeem us some other way? That is a terrible price that was paid, a huge price. And why did it take 4,000 years? Now, those two questions and the answers to those could radically change your life. And I have started answering this by, and I'm going to have to just go through some things quickly and then pick up and go on with this. But God created the heavens and the earth by His words, Hebrews 11:3. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. I went through, I think it was about 10 verses in Genesis chapter 1 where God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let us make man in our image." God blessed them and said. The way that God has released His power is through words. And I really focused on this verse in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 where it says that Jesus is the express image of the Father and He upholds all things by the word of His power. If Jesus was to ever break His word, if He was ever to change what He says, well, it's His word that's holding the universe together. And the universe would self-destruct. You and I would self-destruct. God's integrity is at stake, and God will never change what He has said. And so that brings us to Genesis chapter 1. Where God created Adam and Eve, and then it says that God blessed them, this is verse 28, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In those words, God gave man absolute authority over this earth. I also use Psalms 115, verse 16, where it says that the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the sons of man. In a sense, now I want you to track with me. Don't get upset and stumble over this. Listen to what I've got to say. But in a sense, God made man the God of this world. He gave us absolute, total control. And here's a verse that verifies that, Psalms chapter 82, verse 6. This is God speaking, and He said, "I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." And He goes on to say, "But you're going to perish like man." In other words, but He's saying that this is what God said about us. He had made us gods, not capital G in the sense that we are truly God and divine, but He gave us absolute lordship, control, rule, and dominion of this earth. Now, the importance of all of this is if you understand that God gave this power and authority to mankind. Then when man sinned and turned this power over to the devil, and you know the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It calls him the god of this world. Where did he become the god of the world from? Man is the one that made Satan the god of this world. Man had been the god of this world, according to Psalms 82, 6. But when we yielded ourselves to the devil, we made the devil the god of this world. And when we did that, that certainly wasn't God's will for us. That's not what he wanted. But if the Lord would have come down and intervened and right then just, you know, had Jesus born, come in and do all of these things, and if he would have solved the situation immediately and have done these things, he would have been violating his own word. He said, I give this control, this dominion, this power to you. You can do with it what you want to. Now, he didn't intend for us to do with it what we did, but he gave us that right and that option. You know, I one time gave a car to a guy, and this guy drove the car for a period of time, but then he came to me and he says, you know, we would like to take this car and use it as a trade-in and get a better car. And he came to ask me permission. And I said, well, you can do whatever you want to. It's your car. And he says, but yeah, but you gave it to me, and I just wanted to. And I said, look, it's your car. I gave it to you. I didn't put any restrictions on it. If you want to park it out in front of the building and charge $5 a whack with a sledgehammer, it's yours. You do whatever you want to with it. And but see, he just thought, well, but you gave it to me. He was still looking at it like it was mine. But no, it was his. I signed the title over. He could do anything. Now, I didn't want him to abuse it, but I mean, if he did, it's really his. And if I was going to maintain my integrity, when I say I gave this to you, I have no more control over that thing. A person who gives you something and then tells you how to use it, they didn't truly give it to you. And with men, you know, you see that happen sometimes, but not God. When God gave control to Adam and Eve, there were no strings attached. There were no reservations. You know, I'm not going to go into it here, but if you were to get my teaching where I do go into much more explanation on the authority of the believer, this is exactly why Satan came against Adam and Eve, because he saw in Adam and Eve an unconditional authority with no strings attached. And he realized that if he could get Adam and Eve to give that power that they had received from God to him, then he would be able to become the god of this world. Satan didn't get his power that he's been ruling over mankind with directly from God. He got it from men. We are the ones that empowered Satan and made Satan who he is today. And likewise, the scripture says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God and the devil both are spirits. They cannot operate in this physical world. They can operate in the spiritual world, in the unseen realm, but they cannot operate in the physical world apart from physical human beings. God gave control of this earth to people that have physical bodies. Satan didn't have a physical body. This is why he had to tempt this serpent. Now, apparently there is some degree of communication. A physical being, like even an animal or a person, can be influenced, and we can receive impressions and thoughts from a spirit. But a spirit cannot control any person with a physical body without cooperation. Satan had to come and get this serpent to cooperate and speak through that serpent to Adam and Eve, and he didn't come and force them into submission. He didn't have an elephant put his foot on Eve's head and say, I'm going to squash you like a bug if you don't eat of this tree. He didn't come with force. He didn't try and intimidate them. He came with words and deceptions, because the truth is Adam and Eve were the gods of this world. They had absolute control and authority, and Satan did not have any authority to do anything to them. He had to get them to cooperate. Now, they didn't cooperate in the sense that they said, all right, we hate God, we're going to reject God. No, they still admired God. Matter of fact, they were trying to be more like God. That was the temptation and the deception that he gave them. It wasn't a rebellious type of thing, but they did cooperate with the devil. If they hadn't have bought his lie, if they hadn't have followed his lead, if they hadn't have eaten of that fruit, Satan could not have forced them to do it. They had to cooperate. And when they did that, again, mankind would have just said, well, I'm going to take my authority back. But if God would have done that, He upholds all things by the word of His power. If He would have broken His word, His promise. And again, He doesn't have to say, this is a promise. Anything God says is accurate. He never violates. The word of God is settled. It's sure. It's established. Psalms 138, verse 2 says that He has magnified His word even above His name. Now think about the name of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. There's many scriptures that talk about the name of the Lord as a strong tower. It's a refuge. And on you could go about that. The word of God is magnified even above the name of Jesus. Man, that is a strong statement. But you know, it's really true. A person is no better than their word. If their word is no good, well, then there isn't any glory and honor attached to the person. The word has had a greater priority or honor placed on the word than actually the name of Jesus. Psalms 138, verse 2. So God will not violate His word. Here's another scripture in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 34. I wish I had time to put this in its context, because this whole psalm is talking about how that the children of Israel had rebelled at God, and because of them breaking the covenant, that God was going to have them conquered and send them into captivity. But right in the midst of pronouncing all of this judgment, He said in Psalms chapter 89 and in verse 34, He says, "My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." And He goes on in the next verse, "I've sworn in my holiness that I will not lie unto David. And as long as the heavens endure, there's going to be a son of His to sit on the throne." And so in the midst of pronouncing judgment on them, which He was just to do because they broke the covenant, He wasn't breaking the covenant, He still was saying, I can't lie. Whatever comes out of my mouth is a covenant. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And so God, even though He was just and He could have forsaken the whole nation of Israel, He says, I'm going to still honor. And there is always going to be people in the nation of Israel that God is going to honor and take care of. And so this says He will not break the covenant that comes out of His lips. When God says something, it's a contract. God never says, oops. He never says, sorry. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, and because of all of these things, see, lies the answer to these questions. Why did it take 4,000 years for Jesus to show up? Because He gave the authority and dominion over this earth to people. People gave it over to the devil. And now God no longer had absolute control. He created Adam by speaking him into existence. "Let us make man in our image," Genesis 1:26. He spoke him into existence, but that's when he had no resistance. There was nobody else that had any authority and power. God hadn't shared any of His authority. But after He created Adam and Eve, He gave them dominion over the earth. And if God would have come down and have just spoke the physical body of Jesus into existence, He would have been in violation of His own word, because that had been given to men. And now He had to get cooperation from men who had the physical bodies. He was a spirit. And He had to have people with physical bodies to cooperate with Him and speak forth these things. In the beginning, God just created, because there wasn't people with physical bodies. He created us with physical bodies and then gave us this dominion. And now He would be unjust if He went around us and did things on His own. No, He had to flow through people. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying, but this is powerful stuff, and it answers a lot of questions. There's people that think, well, why didn't this person get healed? Why didn't God just give me money? Why didn't God just do this? Why didn't God fix all these problems? Why didn't God solve all the problems in the world? Why didn't the Lord just put in people into the government that'll do this and this and this? God does not control this earth the way that He's often spoken about and told. People are told that He does. God gave us dominion. You know, I've had people come up to me before mad about, why did God cause this person to die? And I say, God didn't kill them. And they say, well, wait a minute, God does everything. And I said, it says very clearly in Hebrews chapter 2 that Satan is the one that had the power of death, not God. God's not the one that's doing these kind of things. And I tell you, misunderstanding about this has caused a lot of people to stay their arm's length from God or to even hate Him and rebel at Him because they're blaming God for things that He's not guilty of. God does not control this stuff. God gave control of this earth to people, and it's people that's made this mess. It's people that have done these things. You know, I mentioned this before, but I was just recently at Auschwitz where 1.1 million people were tortured and killed and burnt and terrible things happened. And I saw all of this stuff and read these things. I saw tables and chairs, not this time, but when I was there 25 years ago, they used to have out tables and lamps and chairs that were made out of human flesh, what the Nazis did. And you see those kind of things. And people think, why did God do this? Why did God allow it? God didn't allow that. That is people. That is the authority and power. And even God Himself, as much as He hated that stuff, God could not just overturn it. Now, let me put this little parenthesis in here. Don't lose where I'm going because I say this. God, as the owner of the universe and the creator of all of these things, I believe that He would be just at any time to just say, forget you and destroy the entire world and start over. As the owner, as the creator, I think He would be just to do that. And He has on occasion, such as the flood in Genesis chapter 6 and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19. He has on occasion taken a preemptive strike and done nearly a destruction of the entire human race. And so He would be just to just destroy us. It's similar to a person that has a apartment complex. They built it. It's theirs. But if you put somebody in to run and to manage that, now most of us would not give a manager absolute control. Absolute control. We would put all kinds of restrictions on that, and we would reserve the right to come in and do things. But God, when He created the heavens and the earth, He put man in with absolute control. And if, you know, a person was managing your apartment complex and if you gave them absolute control, I believe you as owner could come in and just destroy the complex and stop it and rebuild another one. You would have the right to do that. But as far as the management of it, if you gave it to a person with no restrictions, no qualifications, it's yours, do whatever you want to, then you would be violating your word to come in and interfere with the way it's being run. Now, I think you could come and destroy, bulldoze the whole thing and start over, but to intervene would be breaking your word. See, God would be breaking His word if He just came to this earth and started changing everything. We know exactly what God would do because Jesus, when He came to this earth, we saw what He did, and it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that He's the express image of the Father, an exact representation of the Father. And when He came, He went about doing good, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went around showing people mercy and grace. He never put sickness on a person. He never smote a person. He didn't do the vicious, vile things that God is credited with. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. And so we know what God's like. If it was just up to God, if He was doing His thing, people wouldn't be sick. God didn't create us to be sick. And in heaven, it says that in heaven, there's not going to be any sorrow or pain or sickness, that there's this tree that grows in the middle of the boulevard that goes down to heaven, and it says its leaves are for the healings of the nations. And we aren't going to have sickness. We aren't going to have pain. There's not going to be any more sorrow. That's the way that God created us in the beginning. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. And in between, you know, the creation and heaven, all of this tragedy and hurt that we have is not God's will. God is not the one causing it. Somebody might say, well, then why doesn't God fix it? Well, He has brought Jesus to this earth, and if we would believe and accept our responsibility, we could be a part of the solution rather than the answer. But see, it's this wrong thinking that I'm encountering. People don't understand that God has limited His own sovereignty. He has limited His control. When He gave you power and authority, That means that he removed himself from this. God is not going to come and rebuke the devil for you. God is not going to come and heal you without you taking some authority and power and releasing and standing up and believing. And most people have just missed these truths, and because of it, they're going through life just being beat up by the devil and wondering why God doesn't do something. You know, if God could be confused, I believe that God would be confused, because he said he gave us power and authority over all the force of the devil, and we can cast out diseases. Nothing will harm us. We have to resist the devil, and yet people are just acting like God didn't do any of these things. So when God gave this authority to mankind, he could not come down and just intervene and bring Jesus into this earth. You know what he had to do? He created the first man by speaking him into existence. He had to speak the second man. This is the exact terminology that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The second man, Jesus, the second Adam, was created. And so how did God create him? He spoke the first one into existence. He had to speak the second one into existence. But here's the problem. He had to speak it through men, because men were now the ones in charge of the earth. It had to be their words. It was God inspired, but men were the ones that had the authority. And for Jesus to be created and have a physical body to enter into, it wasn't going to be a normal birth like you and I had. It was going to be a virgin birth. It was going to bypass the corruption that was found in the human nature, because it wasn't just the junction of two people. It was God that literally put the seed inside of Mary instead of a man. So how did God do this? He started speaking words to people's hearts. God is a spirit. He would communicate to the spirit part of a man and inspire them. And then these prophets would speak out things that had to be spoken. That Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That had to be spoken for it to happen. Again, God created the original heaven and earth by words. He created the original people by words. God spoke everything into existence. So God had to speak the second Adam into existence. And like, for instance, over in Isaiah chapter 7, boy, there was a major, major prophecy that was given by Isaiah. There's hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament, but in Isaiah chapter 7, it said here that this shall be a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height thereof. That's in verse 11. And just for time's sake, I'm about out of time. Let me drop down here and read this. In verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, I hadn't got time to go through all this. We'll continue this tomorrow. But let me just say, can you imagine what it would be like as a prophet to stand up and say, a virgin is going to give birth to a child? You know what? It takes a tremendous amount of faith to say that. And yet it had to be spoken. It had to be spoken that it was going to be a virgin birth, so that it would avoid the corruption that's in the human nature if it would have just been the union of two people. Can you understand how hard it was to find somebody who would say that a virgin is going to have a child and write it down and make it something that they base their ministry on? It took a while for God to find people that he could speak through. I'm out of time today, but we will continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. Also, listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original five-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that the Lord has spoken to some of you today and lights are going on. It's like you're getting this. I want to encourage you to please call in and get the materials. We have a phone number and that'll help you to receive them quicker. But also as you call, there are some wonderful people answering our phones. I mean, some of my best friends, and these people are seeing awesome things happen. These are mature Christians that can minister to you. And if you now have realized some things and you want to start taking your authority and speaking and cooperating with God, these people can help you. So as you call in and ask for the materials, also ask for someone just to pray with you and have them agree. And I tell you, you'll be blessed. God loves you and God wants to prosper you, so call that number that you see on your screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
And where did this word come from? This word came from all of these prophecies that had been made for thousands of years. God had been speaking, but He couldn't find one person that had enough faith are enough receptiveness to speak all of the words, and so it took hundreds of people over 4,000 years to speak all of these words that were necessary.